I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9-to-5 is something that I don't wanna do. Sit in the cubicle miserable as I slave away. Getting complacent with life as my dreams fade away. Nah, motivation to go harder. I'd rather spit that real than probably die harder.
Good morning, good evening, good night, folks. This is your Five Tool Sports Podcast host, Woody Massey, and I'm here with both the tools today. Class is in session.
Hey.
Do-rag on, chain on, hair done, nails done, everything big. Oh, we got the substitute. TJ McLaughlin.
What it do, fellas? Look, the only thing that I want to say during my intro is Vegas, okay?
Yeah. Vegas was a cruel mistress to you this weekend.
Oh, my God.
Welcome to gambling, CJ.
We're quit.
You feel like the king of the world, and the next week you just feel like
you're questioning life.
Oh my gosh, man!
Do I really know anything?
Thought I had some really good bets. You know what I'm saying, but
bro, it's the most amazing gambling story I ever heard. So there's a comedian, Artie Lang. He used to be on the Howard Stern show. He used to talk about. He used to do incredible amounts of heroin, and cocaine, and he used to be in high roller gambling suites in Vegas, where he would bet six figures on NCAA tournament games to go over on the over total points, and each point that would go over, you get another like 10 grand if you hit. So he's sitting there just ripping like cocaine and going back and forth while gaining 10 grand and losing 10 grand. That dopamine rush must have been. He's the cat with nine lives.
Today's show just went from PG to MA. With the drug.
So kids, if you need help with gambling, call 1-800 don't gamble.
Oh, we have that ad pre-recorded.
Okay, cool. Just make sure.
I add it every week.
And that voice of assurance with the gambling help, that is Coach Brandon Lumber.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope. I don't suggest doing it, but
we do it.
Small bets, you know, dollars. Yeah, $2, you win
moderation.
Money.
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Some people get wild with it, like Woody just said. I mean,
yep, geez. That is wild.
I want to get there one day. I want to be able to get there.
You want to get to Vegas and be on cocaine, heroin, betting hundreds of thousands of dollars?
I mean, minus the cocaine
and no question mark. This week was crazy. Brandon, tell us how we did on the gambling real quick.
All right. Yeah, I was just pulling that up. I was going to hold back on it a little bit, and then I'm like, all right.
No. Don't hold back.
Oh, I know.
I think I caught somebody today.
It. You can tell who had a good week.
Yeah.
Every dog has.
None of us really had a good week. All right. So I picked five.
Wins.
I picked five, right? And you guys picked three. So,
we're gonna be going back into the outline because I've marked down.
You should.
I know I got more.
I would love to see. Right. I would love to see Woody go back into the outline and take a look.
Oh,
and as soon
man.
As you send me any discrepancies that you find, and we'll go over them together and. The review department, it takes about 90 days, and we'll come back. You'll get an email.
I mean,
email,
that's cool, but
one of the emails.
I thought the review department was sus already, and I marked down all my picks in the.
Good. I want you to. We'll go through it. If you go in here and look at the dashboard, you'll see exactly what you picked.
All right. Well,
and then you can just mark. If you catch one, tell me, and I'll update it. But then CJ and I have to vote on it to decide if it's.
You feel me? Hell yeah.
CJ and I will have to vote on whether or not it's legit. Or not, or if you went in and you changed it, and I'll have to check the history of the Google Doc just to make sure there weren't any edits.
Look, Woody's the kind of guy during a pickup game. If you're not properly keeping score, he'll slide in an extra point. You know, the score's supposed to be 6-4, and he's like 6-5.
You're that type of guy.
No, I'm not.
But hey, look, Woody, you're still picking. Point. You're picking 52%. CJ's still 55%, which is still high level, and I'm 49. So I've went down, ironically, I guess.
What do we need to be? We need to be closer to 60, right? To say, hey, we're legit at picking the spread.
Anything over 50 with picking all the games is good. Most guys pick at a 60% clip, just picking like six games. Because the main thing that a lot of professional bettors hold themselves to every year in Vegas is this thing, which I think we as a show should enter next year. I think it'd be really fun. You only need like, I think it's like a grand to enter. It's called the Super Contest. And you pick six games a week. And thousands of people join it. It's what how a lot of people. It's like a giant gambling.
And you said it's $1,000.
$1,000 for the season.
So if you're listening to our subscribers out there, go ahead and donate to the Five Tools Sports Podcast charity.
We're gonna start.
I believe you can actually donate money through the podcast. There's like
through Anchor. Yeah. So go on Anchor, throw us some bread so we can lose it on the ponies. All right, guys. Before we jump into the game reviews, real quick, guys, the Raiders have cut their 2020 first round pick Arnett for after taking his gun out and
flashing the blicky.
Yeah, just flashing the blicky. And it was a big gun too. You see that thing? It had like the extra barrel on it.
Yeah, man. How stupid can you be, man?
Like, apparently,
it's crazy.
Not as dumb as Ruggs, but about there.
About man, it's just we knew it was gonna happen. We kind of outlined it last week in the show. We said, hey, this is foreshadowing for Vegas.
Let's throw all these young millionaires into a desert with no gun laws and massive gambling and drugs and alcohol, and everything will be
all
fun.
Kinds.
Yeah. We'll handle it.
That's two first round picks, just done. I don't know. Like, do you know how much that hurts? Like the pedigree of the Raiders roster.
Well, not to even mention the guy that selected them is gone too. So, I mean, it's man, it's bad in Raider Nation right now.
So this man John Gruden was racist, but he out here drafting dudes with like assault rifles in their Instagram feed.
Yeah, and you know what? The Raiders are still winning though. So
yes, they are.
It is,
it's pretty crazy. Nick Chubb tests positive for COVID-19. Don't root for that.
Damn.
Don't root for that.
I mean, he's healthy.
Well, he didn't mean it in that
asymptomatic
regard.
And stuff.
yeah, hopefully.
There you go. The odds are in his favor. I'm just saying, I have D'Ernest Johnson on my bench. Kareem Hunt on IR, so.
Oh, Russell Wilson's been cleared officially. Carroll hails remarkable recovery.
Yeah. That's big. That's big for Seattle, for that division. Right now, because I damn near crossed them off my list to make the playoffs now. And
they're just huddling around. They could still make a wild card if they go on a crazy run.
Yeah.
All right, let's jump into these games, though, guys. Actually, before we jump into the games, class is in session.
Hey, you about to cut me out again, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, Bobby Brown, man, I swear.
It'll spree right. Well on you someday.
So, last year, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers became the most recent team to win a Super Bowl without winning their division.
Yeah.
So, who was the last team to win the NFL Super Bowl without winning their division?
Giants.
That's your answer, the New York Giants?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Sounds right.
And you have the New York Giants as well, huh?
Absolutely.
All right. You guys are both wrong. I love it. The correct answer was the 2010-2011 Green Bay Packers.
Oh.
They didn't win the division. They had to go on the road.
Was it the Vikings?
Every playoff game all the way up until the Super Bowl. And, you know, I formulated this question because last week we kind of had a little brief argument or discussion or whatever about how important it is to win your division and to get home field because it increases your odds. And you guys gave me some pushback on that. And, you know, it's not an absolute. I just feel as though, again, when you get into the playoffs, you want to put yourself in the best situation possible leading up into the postseason. And this proof is in the pudding. You want to win your division. You want to at least get at least one home field game.
No, I feel that. Well, we'll see. The Packers might be in a similar situation this year if Aaron Rodgers gets suspended. But we'll talk more about that when we get to Green Bay. Let's hop right into it.
If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, you can get help by visiting gamblingaddictioncenter.com. Addiction is a disease, and we here at the Five Tool Sports Podcast and Football Scout 365 want our listeners to know that everything we present on our show with regard to point spreads and betting, that is strictly for entertainment purposes only. So
everything in moderation, guys. New York Jets, Indianapolis Colts. I picked the Colts on this one. Apparently one of my three wins, which is under review. But I think Brandon's cheating.
I'm not, man. I'm telling you.
The Indianapolis Colts, they covered this one. The Jets almost came back and covered. It was a messy one. It turned into a barn burner. But I think the story here is Jonathan Taylor is the best running back in the NFL now, right? Now that Derrick Henry's out for the season?
No, I think it's Nick Chubb. But Jonathan Taylor's definitely
I didn't
up
say
there.
The best runner, the purest runner. I said the best running back. Because yeah, Jonathan Taylor's a much Chubb. Better receiver than Nick Chubb.
Ooh, I wouldn't say that.
Jonathan Taylor's a pretty good receiver.
I would say Nick Chubb is actually a decent receiver who doesn't get the opportunity. The dude needs more opportunities out there for that. I've seen that guy go downfield and make plays over top of people. So, but Woody, you're right.
Jonathan
I'm
Taylor
give you
holds
credit
a legit workload though, too.
Like yes, Chubb, like, he is the
Jonathan Taylor's a workhorse.
Chubb, could.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like they didn't just pay Hines this offseason. So I mean, he's Jonathan Taylor. Look, I'm a fan of Jonathan
money.
Taylor.
I'm gonna give you credit though, and say I'm just gonna say yes. He is right now because Nick Chubb is out.
Like as of week.
So therefore,
it's real. You can be right for a few days.
Yeah.
All right. I've been having this debate because I've taken Carson Wentz in a couple leagues this year, and obviously it was a rough start. Carson Wentz is a top 10 fantasy quarterback, correct?
Because
he runs the ball.
He's on the.
It depends on how much you lose for interceptions, obviously, in your league scoring.
Oh, that and the inconsistency, and then you got to think about his injury
look at the
history.
Consistency. He's one of the only quarterbacks this year that since week two has scored over 20 points.
I don't hate Carson Wentz as a fantasy quarterback. I don't know if I would put him top 10, but he's in that fringe area, I think. There's some other quarterbacks who aren't considered upper echelon. In terms of, you know, real life football, that are I would probably choose ahead of him in fantasy. Kirk Cousins being one of them, just kind of, you know, at the tip of my tongue. And then Jalen Hurts, and then Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes. Obviously, Deshaun Watson isn't playing this year, but man, some guys out there. I think I could give you 10 that I think I would rather have over Carson Wentz. I think.
Fair enough. But the fact is, he's up there because a lot of people said he wouldn't even be worth starting this year, and I'm just like, he's helped me stay afloat. Now that Russ is coming back, we'll see how it works. But Josh Johnson, you know, nice to see him every few years reappear. He threw 300 yards. I don't think it said a ton about either team in this win. I think the Colts got the W, but. Wasn't much of a test, obviously.
Well, you know, I was impressed by the Colts, actually. You know, like, the Colts did what they wanted to. The Jets' front seven or their front four is actually...
No slouches.
Exactly. And Indianapolis, you know, treated them like babies. So, you know, from that standpoint, I was impressed with Indy. The unfortunate thing for this was I was kind of becoming a Mike White fan, right? I love his bravado, his confidence.
He should be back.
And the guys were rallying around him. And for to see him hurt his wrist, and I think the on the second series of the game was kind of tough. But now the question is, who's like, is there a quarterback battle there now? Is it Mike White or Zach Wilson? Or
realistically, no.
What should it be?
I think Mike White's gained one extra start to see if he can do it again. That's what he's done. And then Zach Wilson be put in because he was the number two overall pick.
That's fair.
Yeah. Atlanta Falcons, New Orleans Saints. The Falcons covered in this one. One of my two of three wins. So that's two already. Falcons covered in this one. I'm really surprised that they won this one. Honestly.
Me too. I didn't expect it. Atlanta got out to a substantial lead in the second half, and I thought the game was over. And then New Orleans, they actually fought back, and they actually took the lead. And so Atlanta had to win it on a game-winning kick. So that was very interesting to see, especially New Orleans coming off a big victory versus Tampa Bay in the previous week. But I don't know if I'd be really concerned. Obviously, New Orleans, with their starting quarterback, Jameis going down, is going to hurt them for sure. I think that division is Tampa Bay's to win outright at this point.
Well, I think the question we ask yourself here is, can Atlanta be a sneaky backdoor wild card spot?
No. Man, really? All I can say, all I can say about this team is they've unlocked Cordarrelle Patterson. And
well, this is what we've been waiting
8
for.
8 years in.
We've been waiting for this. We saw him on the Bears. We saw him in New England where they'd be running out of the backfield.
I got a response for that. Matt Nagy. Now, with the Patriots, I don't know what to say about that. But his most recent stop is probably Matt Nagy's fault.
It's just finally we're seeing someone think outside the box with an athlete that doesn't necessarily fit the norm. Like, his we've all line. Known Cordarrelle Patterson is one of the best open field runners in the NFL for like a decade.
Yeah, and his stat line, 9 rushes for 10 yards, but then as a receiver, and it's not just, you know, him out of the backfield as a receiver. It's him lining up at receiver and going downfield and making plays. He had 6 targets, 6 catches, and 126 yards.
Yeah.
He's become everything we wanted Ty Montgomery to become.
Yeah.
Yep.
And quick shout out here, too. I know everybody was down on Trevor Siemian thinking it was going to be Taysom Hill. I think Siemian has done enough or has at least shown enough to continue to start for this offense. We'll see how they go with it. But 249 yards, 2 touchdowns. He didn't throw a pick. So,
All right. Let's take a look at the Denver Broncos, Dallas Cowboys. Now, see, before you air your grievances here, I just want to say I think this game was a fluke. I think Dak came back a little rusty with his calf injury, and I think we saw the real Dallas in the last 4 minutes when they put up 2 touchdowns and 2 2-point conversions. I think it just took them a little 3 quarters too late to snap out of it, and I think we see them bounce back hard next week.
Look, I don't really have any grievances with this game. My dad called me as soon as the game was over, and the first thing we both did on the phone was just bust out laughing, right? Because, look, the Cowboys, they just got beat up. They didn't bring their A game. They came out flat. They went for it on 4th and short multiple times and didn't get it. They dropped passes on 3rd down. Dak Prescott overthrew open receivers during, you know, big 3rd and 4th down conversion attempts. So they just came out flat. I'm not worried. The Broncos do have a good defense. I mean, it's solid, but I think it was more so about Dallas and just them not coming ready to play. And I always tell people, look, and we're going to get to the Buffalo-Jacksonville game later, all right? Every single guy on these football fields, when we watch this game, they're getting paid hundreds of thousands of millions of dollars, not to just take up a roster spot, but to go out there and perform, okay? So it still holds true any given Sunday, and that's what happened. I mean, look, Dallas, they do have to kind of go back to the, you know, to the drawing board and see what they need to adjust. That defense played awful. You know, Denver did what they wanted to on the ground versus that Dallas defense. So, you know, they do have to make some adjustments, but I wouldn't be worried. I still think they're probably one of 4 or 5 contenders in the NFC still right now. So,
yeah, I didn't get to see this game. I can tell you just looking at numbers in general, converting on 3rd down, going 0-for-4 on 4th down, 2 turnovers. These are the kind of errors that, you know, lead to a performance like this. I mean, they were averaging 4.9 yards per rush attempt. I don't know, CJ, did they just bail on the run game? Obviously, when they were trailing, or
they just got behind.
Yep.
Yeah. They just, you know, they just got behind, and then
like
you
said,
you know,
it set the tone from that opening drive when Zeke tried to cut back on that 4th-and-1 instead of just throwing himself into the pile. Like, like you got like some of the best churning legs in the NFL carrying tacklers, and you're going to try to cut back on the defense.
Yeah. And also, I mean, Mike McCarthy and the analytics and stuff, he's been like uber aggressive. And I know people are going to come for Mike McCarthy. Did I necessarily like those calls? No, I would have, you know, liked us, you know, to kick a field goal, but I mean, it's just part of football, right? You make decisions, and sometimes you get them right, sometimes you get them wrong.
Hey, the Ravens, happened to them a couple years ago. They were hot on the analytics, and they ended up doing some stuff that had they just kicked the field goal or punted, the result would have been different. So sometimes it doesn't work out.
New England Patriots at Carolina Panthers. The Patriots put a whooping on the Panthers in this one, 24-6. Sam Darnold was having PTSD flashbacks to his Jets days, and I know you've been waiting for it. See, I'm 99.9% there. I gotta see him get his butt whooped one more time. One more time.
It's gonna take a hell of a butt whooping for you to finally believe that he's not the answer. Did y'all see the video
this
clip?
This is about
of
it.
Did y'all see the video clip of Robbie Anderson?
Yeah.
Yeah, tighten up, bro.
Tighten it up. Wow. I think this was a very impressive win by New England. We saw Gilmore get his revenge by getting a pick, showing that the Patriots, he wasn't done. But New England's rolling right now. They got like three decent backs that they can rotate in and out. The Hunter Henry's just a beast in the red zone this year, in the red zone only. And they're just getting it done in that classic weird old New England way. And honestly, this is giving me really weird vibes of that first Patriots Super Bowl team with Brady. A little bit, like where they're not. Remember that team? Remember that team that the defense was middle of the pack, but they were number one inside their own 50. Like, it's a very opportunistic defense. I think we're starting to see that team.
Their next three games, they have the Browns, and then you have the Falcons after that, who's a hot team. And then they got to go against the Titans, who are hot on November 28th. So they're going to be tested. And then after that, they got the Bills, Colts, and Bills. So, I mean, this stretch in their schedule right now is going to be tough. Now, if they can win, a couple of these games, then they may very well be a playoff team. But I feel like a month from now, we may be having this conversation about, are they going to make the playoffs?
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think it's time to say, like, Matthew Judon was the best free agent signing of the summer, right? He's a Pro Bowl. He's turned that defense around for him because of adding that pass rush. Yeah. He's a better pass rusher in New England than he's ever been.
Mac Jones has looked more and more comfortable as each week passes, which is, that's what you expect as a rookie.
We just got to watch out for him twisting people's ankles. And
I've seen that.
You love to see it, though. It wasn't dirty.
I'm a Mac Jones person. I enjoy his game and the way he does things, but that was definitely not something you do. That was on purpose.
You don't think he was like trying to pull his ankle back to not let him get to the ball?
No, I mean, you don't have to pull. You don't have to twist. I mean, it's on. I saw it.
I feel that.
I didn't notice.
He's twisting. Yeah, I mean,
he's trying to do some wrestling.
I mean, he got away with it just like he did with them DUIs.
He was just hyped. He had watched the UFC fight card the night before. Was trying to get some jiu-jitsu while.
Right.
Yeah.
Minnesota Vikings, Baltimore Ravens. This game was a barn burner.
It's a doozy.
Baltimore won this one 34-31. Now, I heard a stat in this one that I think this was also from Bill Simmons the other day. This was a gem. This man said, so coming in the season, Lamar had never led a team back from being down 10.
Yeah, three now.
He's done it three times now this year.
Yep.
Everyone's saying that, Lamar hasn't progressed. Yes, he has. He can actually lead comeback drives now.
For sure. Like, and look, I think this season I've seen some good and bad from Lamar. But I'll tell you
this.
He
was sloppy
with the amount of injuries on that team. It's had to reestablish its identity. And because of that, Lamar Jackson has been forced to develop. Because for the last 3 years, we've said, just to your point, Woody, that Ravens offense, Lamar Jackson, if they get behind, that's about it for them. And now we've seen them be able to open it up and be able to pass the ball and move the ball down the field when they are behind or if they're in a high-scoring contest. So I think Lamar Jackson is developing right in front of our eyes, and I don't think that or this gets enough credit, to be honest with you.
What I like is their usage of him. 1 week, he's throwing it more, and when he doesn't need to run it as much or take, unnecessary contact, they're not doing it. This week, he ran it. He got another 100 yards, and by the way, he just passed Michael Vick for the all-time you know, 100-yard game record.
Yeah, 12, right?
Quarterbacks, yeah. So Lamar did that. Also, I want to point out real quick, I know, like I said, Lamar, he was sloppy as a passer. Felt like he was just trying to force things early to Mark Andrews, and it was just sloppy, right? But Rashad Bateman, he came on strong in this game, especially at the intermediate level. He had 5 catches on 8 targets, 52 yards. 4 of those were for a first down. On the other side of the equation, Kirk Cousins, he was efficient. He wasn't great. He did hit a few 20-yard passes. One did go for a touchdown to Jefferson, right? But he was largely held in check. And Jefferson and Thielen, by the way, were held in check. Outside of that, the Ravens did a great job just keeping everything underneath on defense. Another important note, Ravens did lose Deshaun Elliott to a pectoral injury for the season. That's a huge loss on a defense. Yeah,
has already been suspect.
Yeah, so another key note, too, that I want to point out, the running backs on this offense struggled yards after contact all year. They bottom of the league. They actually were, in the top 10 average with 3.56 yards after contact in this particular game.
Le'Veon Bell showing some wiggle up the middle in this game.
Yeah, him and Freeman were a good combo.
Yeah. Look, I just kind of want to flip to the other team, the Minnesota Vikings. They've lost so many close games this year.
So many.
Well, and
there was one, like, Kirk Cousins, before you go in, like, I'm with you where you're already going here, see? Yeah. Because Kirk, like, we saw, I put it in the chat this week while watching the game, 3rd and 18, Kirk just tosses the ball to the tight end out in the flat on 3rd and 18. And, like, you're driving, like, to win the game, and it's 3rd and 18, and you just casually toss the ball in the flat.
Like, look, and this is why stats lie. We can pull up stats that help Kirk Cousins' case, but at the end of the day, when you pay a guy that amount of money, it's about, okay, can you lead us down the field when we need you to for us to win the game?
And not just, if he's on national television.
And Anthony Barr even got a huge interception in overtime to give the Vikings offense great field position. Incredible play. And, you know, Kirk Cousins still couldn't get his offense over the hump. So, I don't know.
Yeah, what else is there to say? Dalvin Cook is great. Justin Jefferson is great. Adam Thielen is great every other game. And that's about it, right?
And then you have Captain Kirk. Yeah.
Captain
Dalvin Cook had a good game.
Dalvin Cook is top 3 running back in the NFL.
Yeah.
Cleveland Browns and Cincinnati Bengals. Browns won this one 41-16. That's already my 4th win I've counted, Brandon. So that's right there.
Did you pick the Browns?
Yes, I was all over the Browns.
I'm not sure about that.
I am it's literally on the outline.
I'll listen to the pod and I'll check the outline.
It's on the outline.
You gotta go through the appeal process.
I'm listening to the pod. I gotta listen to the pod all over again.
90
this
days.
Is crazy.
You heard
this is crazy. It's all rigged. They want me to lose.
90 days.
If it sounds like I edited over it, like Browns or Bengals,
then I still would have win. You can't even get your edit job, bro.
I'll be like, see.
Hey, look.
That was clearly you.
I was all over this one. I said the Browns, this is a must-win game. And after you drop a bad thing from your locker room, you usually respond strong. And that's exactly what we saw the Browns do here.
Yeah, look, they put it on Cincy. I think this was the secondary played phenomenal, first of all. Cleveland's secondary played phenomenal against Cincinnati this past Sunday.
Denzel Ward with the full interception return, 100 yards.
Cincinnati, and this kind of goes to, you know, what we talked about. This was a wacky week. Cincinnati didn't bring their A game. And, you know, the Browns, you know, they had some things go their way. And, you know, that was it. That was it for Cincy. They're a young team, and this is kind of what we expect, right? We kind of expected the up and down, and we kind of got off of that because we saw them beat the Ravens 41-17 a few weeks ago. But they're still an inconsistent young team that has a lot of talent. Playoff, contenders, but I think that's where it starts and stops at for this year, at least.
Yeah, no, that's true. I think both these teams are playoff contenders, and that's where it stops.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want to talk about Baker Mayfield hitting the deep shot 75% of the time.
See, Brandon, this is the thing, bro. You've been breaking
so
down
what?
So
you
much.
So what? You're going to pay him $160 million?
Wait, 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 wait. Brandon, let's talk about this. So you've been breaking down a lot of film this year. You in the film room. You picked out dudes that you saw on the precipice. Like you were all over Donovan Peoples-Jones a few weeks ago, but you saw Baker make one good throw this year, and you ready to pay him? Like Baker's a bad NFL quarterback.
He was 3 of 4. He was 3 of 4 on throws of 20 plus yards.
That's one.
He hit that one on the money. I understand, but this was a big game. This was a big moment.
But Brandon, I want to know how you feel. You tell us about the number. Tell us what you think about Baker, though.
Yeah.
Because you know how numbers can lie.
No, I think Baker is adequate enough to win this division.
Okay.
I mean, he's going to win the division, get to the playoffs. This defense is championship caliber when it wants to be, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I don't see any reason why this team can't make it to.
This is what we said about Kirk Cousins 3 years ago. I'm just saying.
I've been waiting for this take. I got one for you. You know who Baker Mayfield is? You know who Baker Mayfield is? He's the Jared Goff of the AFC.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is. Yeah. Yes, he is.
I don't. Oh man, that's yes, that's lowly. Nope. That's lowly.
That's the Jared Goff of the AFC. That's not real.
Yeah, that is real.
He's better than Jared Goff.
He's never had a season better than Jared Goff's best season.
No, he's better than Jared Goff, though.
I don't know about that.
Statistically, I don't care about what Jared Goff does.
I take Baker over Jared Goff.
Yeah, if I would, hell, I guarantee Sean McVay would have took Baker over Jared. Hell yeah, send him on down.
You sure?
Oh, yeah, he would have.
I don't know.
Hey, look, Sean Payton wanted Baker Mayfield in the worst way. All right, so if that guy wants Baker Mayfield, I'm going to trust his opinion on Baker Mayfield.
Jared Goff is so bad that Sean McVay told the front office, hey, pump the brakes on this contract only a year in. We got to get rid of this guy. I mean, that's how bad Jared Goff is. For Sean McVay to say, hey,
but here's the thing.
I made a mistake.
If they sign Baker to that deal, it's going to be like that a year in. Because he's going to be requiring starter money, which he's not worth.
They're going to re-sign him. They've already been talking about
money, more problems.
This is going to be crazy. Jared Goff of the AFC. You heard it here first. Buffalo Bills, Jacksonville Jaguars, Josh Allen.
I'm going to cut that and put that on Instagram, and I'm going to just every Browns fan site I can find. I'm just going to copy them.
Hell yeah, hashtag.
They'll probably be with you. Who knows? We'll get some votes your way. Who knows?
You know how they do up in Ohio.
This was the
from week to week.
This was the greatest matchup of Sunday. We had Josh Allen versus Josh Allen. Safety Josh Allen taking number 7 in 2020. Compared to quarterback Josh Allen was taking number 7 in 2019. And Josh Allen, the safety, won. He picked Josh Allen off. He sacked Josh Allen. And he recovered a fumble, right? Like the Jags beat the Buffalo Bills 9-6. Say
what do you
out
think
loud,
Josh dude. Allen was saying to Josh Allen during the trash talk? When he's doing all this stuff. I'm the real Josh Allen.
Yeah. Probably. I don't know what the heck happened.
Black of the berry, the sweet of the juice.
Look, the Bills' Josh Allen was pedestrian.
He looked really bad.
They kept everything. Listen, everything he threw was pretty much between the numbers and under 10 yards, at or under 10 yards in this game. He had 2 throws beyond 20 yards. He hit on both of them, but that's all that he had. So they did a great job keeping everything underneath. So they basically took, you know, similar game plan to what you see with Patrick Mahomes or any quarterback that's trying to go over the top. Keep it all underneath, force them to go the distance.
Yeah.
When they get greedy, wait for them to make that mistake. You know, they'll get greedy at some point because they're bored. I'm bored. I want to hit a big play. And here we are.
And
get a 9-6 game.
We're still waiting for Trevor Lawrence to have, like, his second good game in the NFL. It just hasn't happened yet.
I mean, he's in Jacksonville. Yeah. Urban Meyer's his head coach.
I know.
Daryl Bubbles, though, see. I mean, it's
cool. He's teaching him how to do cool hand stuff under the table at the bars, though.
But, no, look, people came after me a few weeks ago on my social media when I said the Buffalo Bills have a good offense, but they don't have the most complete offense.
They can't run the ball.
And then
Zach Moss also might miss some time. He's marked designated with some type of injury.
Yeah.
So Devin Singletary is the lead.
You gotta have some structure, man. When these teams go into the postseason, they all have great structure. They have an identity. And Buffalo really doesn't have an offensive identity. Like, are they an aired out squad? Like, you know, what we saw Kansas City in past years at a high level? Or no, are they going to be
hero ball?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what you cannot do to win a Super Bowl. You cannot lean on Josh Allen to be Superman and expect to win a Super Bowl. It's hard to do.
That's real.
Guys, what are the Patriots going to do to this team if they play like this?
I don't know, honestly.
It's a toss-up right now.
Wanted to throw that out there. So
I think Josh Allen bounces back hard next week, though. He's not. I don't want to over-criticize the quarterback. I don't want to over-criticize Josh Allen. He had a bad game against a defense that isn't terrible. Like, it happens. You know what I mean? Yeah. Now, if he does 2 weeks in a row, maybe it's something. But I don't see him doing it 2 weeks in a row. Houston Texans and Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins won this one 17-9. I thought the Texans would have bounced back a little harder with Tyrod Taylor as the quarterback, but he looked a little rusty.
Yeah, a little rusty. Yeah. First game back in a while. Yeah, I mean,
That's it.
Tua was a late scratch in this one. We saw Jacoby Brissett come in and get another win, just not doing anything.
The best ability is
availability.
Exactly.
Even if you're not doing anything. Hey, can I throw some stats out there about the Dolphins' offensive line? They've been awful this year. They've allowed a ton of pressure. They've allowed 235 total pressures, 50 more than the Carolina Panthers, who are, by the way, the next highest. The Dolphins also struggle to run the football. They average a league-worst 3.5 yards per rush attempt. Even though they won this game, a lot of their ailments are from their lack of being able to run the ball and that offensive line. So,
That's true. Jalen Waddle starting to maybe emerge finally as like a true number one wide receiver in a bad offense, but still it's good to see like the number six overall pick. Y'all built up a lot of hype with him from the draft and he's starting to show it. He's not getting those shots down the field, but I think that's more so the bad quarterback play. But I'm really surprised how good he's been at the mid-range stuff.
Yeah. So the after-the-catch stuff is just that should have been expected. But
right.
Las Vegas Raiders and New York Giants. The Giants win another worthless game, 23-16. Inches us closer and closer to mediocrity again. As you can see, I don't see many bright spots on my New York Giants. Daniel Jones is still a bad quarterback. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Well, you're going to have to live with him for a while unless they go out and pick somebody else up, trade him, whatever they plan on doing, because this draft is not looking good. It's a bad year to be bad.
It's a bad year to be bad.
Unless you're looking for defense. There's going to be
I'd love Michigan's defensive end to add him.
There you go. Add him. People are probably already thinking that way right now. There's several guys that you can add in this draft.
Like, Daniel Jones was 15-20 for 110 yards. Like, how useless.
I mean, look.
They won.
Yeah.
He didn't kill you. He didn't kill the team.
That's true, I guess.
Sometimes that's all you need.
It's not. Yeah, it's not all bad, Woody. It's really not.
It is.
My next point, if it is, you still got the Rams and the Chargers and all those other teams that's out there.
You stop it.
Devontae
Booker. We were all over that, me and C, this offseason. That was a great pickup. Just a great pickup to hold.
It was a solid pickup for sure. And then also we got to bring up the Vegas Raiders are signing DeSean Jackson to replace Henry Ruggs. So
yeah,
it's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, no, that's great. I think that he gives that offense a lift for sure because we saw the Raiders build up in their offense. If you watch their game flow, about three times a game, they script to take that long shot. So they need someone who takes the top off.
Not to stretch the field. Because every other receiver that they have there is really a possession guy. You got Edwards. He's a possession guy. He's a big body. Hunter Renfrow, he's a slot guy. He's short to intermediate. I mean, you got Zay Jones, who's a pretty good deep threat, but he's no Henry Ruggs. He's no DeSean Jackson. So it was a good get for him for sure.
Green Bay Packers, Kansas City Chiefs. Man, this was an ugly game. Jordan Love looks like he doesn't belong in the NFL.
No, I disagree.
He got better as the game went on, but that first quarter was ugly.
I mean, look, that's what happens. You take an inexperienced quarterback, and, you know, you start him versus NFL-caliber players, regardless whether it's the Chiefs defense or not. As the game went on, I just like his spunk, and he's very even keel, and I think that says something about quarterbacks. And I know you guys are shaking your head. I'm not saying he's going to be the greatest. I'm not even saying he's the answer. I'm just saying.
Very spunky out there, all right? His spunk in the pocket. All right, so this game went about as expected, but here's the thing, and I'll move on quickly here. Obviously, Mahomes, we'll talk about that, but the Jordan Love situation, he was prepared to be the starter in the offseason, right? So he was doing that type of activity, and you would think that he would come out, he would look better, right? And I was expecting, I actually thought that he might and come out and have a good game, especially against the Chiefs defense, and he was not.
But let's, before we move on to Patrick Mahomes, see, I got to tell you something. This is the one, the card for me that I'm like, man, Aaron Rodgers really is a selfish guy. Like,
you're joking, right? You're about to say, but I know there's a but or something.
No, just flat out, what he did was incredibly selfish. The fact that you could like remain unvaccinated, parade around and like throw parties and stuff and run around and just like live without the rules.
And now he wants to play
with your teammates. Like, you're a leader for your team, and you're running around just not caring, putting your team in a position where you may lose games now.
He's in the NFL high society. I guess that's how he's viewed.
Yeah, he's out here.
He's not
going to
be
about,
penalized for it, though.
No,
which is kind of crazy. Which I you know the reason why it won't be penalized, because the NFL knew, Packers knew, they're just not.
He probably told him, hey, look, I had it. Right? That's how he's playing. That's the card he's playing. So they won't do any of that.
Well, it's crazy that this man is out here on the Pat McAfee show bragging about how he reached out to Joe Rogan to treat like his COVID. It's like you're bragging about reaching out to a comedian / fitness guy.
I mean, I wouldn't even be out talking about anything.
Well, yeah, it's crazy.
My 10 days, I'd come back, I'd play football.
You know, the level of medical professionals that work with NFL teams, and you're reaching out to Joe Rogan.
Yeah, that just makes him look. It makes him look dumb.
Makes him look like an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just don't talk. Let the media do what they do for the
him
next
Kyrie
10 days.
Irving
come back, win
podcast.
A game, and they forgot. Yep.
Boom. There you go.
It's over.
Him and Kyrie Irving need their own podcast. I'd listen to that.
I wouldn't, but I'm sure. I'm sure a lot of people would.
Patrick Mahomes, what's going on?
This is the worst case of the yips I've ever seen since Simone Biles.
Wow.
I'm starting to think something's going on with Andy Reid since he went down.
This is what I said. I was saying this last night in the chat, Brandon. Andy Reid, we've seen his personal life affect his coaching before, because with his son who overdosed in Philly on heroin, like that was a rough season that year. And this year,
skeletons out of the closet.
Well, I mean, that was in the public eye. I lived in Philly during that. Now you have his son last year who killed a young girl, and like he might really be dealing with some family stuff.
I mean, maybe we're getting an Eric Bieniemy preview right now. Maybe he is running the show on the offensive side, and
if so, then
Reed is taking some time off
for not giving him a job.
And Reed,
for sure.
That I mean, because Reed might be taking a step back health-wise behind the scenes, not telling everybody, and that's just a sneaky suspicion and speculation. But
well, Andy is really playing with God, staying that fat, that old. Like, usually you've had a turnaround by now. Like,
at least lose a couple
professional athletes. Like,
correct me if I'm wrong. I swear he got a little skinnier at one point.
A little skinnier.
And then I guess the KC barbecue, I hear it's good out there. So maybe that's
it's
what
good
it is.
Too,
But look, I think it's more so Patrick Mahomes. I think he has the yips. I think he has confidence issues right now. He just doesn't look like himself. He should have had 2 or 3 additional interceptions. This past Sunday that we either dropped or just bad throws. And, you know, we're not used to seeing this from Patrick Mahomes. And now, you know, the first week was like, he just had a bad game. The second week, another bad game, whatever. Now here we are. We haven't seen that offense play good football in about a month. I'm really worried.
Tyreek Hill. Him and Tyreek Hill have been on the same page either.
They can't get down. They're not hitting downfield at all, really. I mean, they're not.
Yeah. So. I said it a week ago. No, 2 weeks ago. The Chiefs are missing the playoffs before the Giants game. Are you guys on the board with me yet?
Oh, yeah. I'm right there.
I'm not. I'll hop on in a few more weeks.
Fair enough. Arizona Cardinals, San Francisco 49ers. There's not much to say about this game. The 49ers just looked terrible. Shout out Cliff Kingsbury for being able to bring in Colt McCoy and make him look good as the backup. I mean, Colt has been a good backup. He stepped in and done well before. Yeah. He was a good quarterback at Texas. He's got a good mind.
He played well Sunday. I mean, he didn't have to do a lot.
He didn't.
To me,
San Francisco shot themselves in the foot.
Thank you,
Brandon. Numerous drives were ended with turnovers and mistakes. They looked okay offensively. They were hitting big plays. They were moving the ball. Boom. Shot
George
themselves.
George Kittle had the first fumble of his career, which is an insane stat.
Yeah. They panned the camera on his face during the sideline, and he like couldn't even believe it.
That's wild.
That happens, man.
That man's got diesel arms.
How long has he been out? A couple,
More than a couple weeks. I want
to
say
it's been a few weeks.
A month, right?
I think it's like three or four. Yeah.
So, I mean,
Russ.
Are we going to see Trey Lance? What I keep waiting for.
I don't think Trey Lance is ready.
We'll see him in little spurts again. Yeah. He'll come in and.
But I'm 100% with Brandon on this one. The 49ers just came out flat. Like you said, they moved the ball, but. They just had some untimely turnovers and just some circumstances that didn't, you know, really work in their favor. And they basically handed Arizona the game. Colt McCoy didn't have to do much. James Conner played well. Ugh. I mean, it's
incredibly well.
Kyle Shanahan should be on the hot seat.
He is.
Yeah, that's true. I don't think there's any way he loses his job this year. I think next year will be his hot seat year for sure.
I think he's getting fired this year if they don't win six games.
I don't think so, but we'll see. Tennessee Titans at Los Angeles Rams, probably the most surprising game of the day. The Titans, like literally, they lost the cog to their offense and Derrick Henry, and their offense honestly didn't even play amazingly in this game. They got the job done and at times. Like the times they needed to in this game.
Yeah.
But their defense is what won them this game. Jeffrey Simmons is looking like one of the best defensive tackles in the league. He's finally showing out from living up to that draft pick he was a few years ago. Yeah. He's getting legit penetration from up the middle, like just power. Like reminded me a lot of Chris Jones. Like Chris Jones
right up
pushes up the middle.
Yeah. And you know, he had that big stop last week on that fourth and inches play when Josh Allen ran the quarterback sneak. So he was the one that kind of stonewalled Josh Allen. So he is solidifying himself as one of the top interior linemen in the NFL right now.
Are we worried about the Rams at all here?
No.
Same.
They didn't play well. Matthew Stafford had two really, really bad interceptions. And it just kind of goes to, again, I feel like it was more so what the Rams did or didn't do as opposed to, you know, Tennessee really putting it to the Rams personally. I know Brandon obviously has a different opinion, I think. But.
No, just the pressure. They got to figure that out. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're giving up a ton. Six sacks. Stafford was hit five times, 13 hurries. I mean,
when your best offensive lineman is 40 years old, like Andrew Whitworth is still out there just plugging away as a left tackle.
Yeah.
Yeah. And look, for this game, last week I had a bet that I absolutely loved, and that was Cooper Kupp for over 100 yards. Mm-mm. Man, Vegas did me dirty this past week. He had 11 catches for 95 yards. So.
Ooh.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. If you listen to the show and you lost money, you're not alone. So
you're seeing the correct side of gambling here, folks. This is what Vegas does.
This is how they keep the balance.
That number isn't there on accident.
Like, now, this game. So Tennessee, they're got one of the best records in the NFL, and this win was huge.
Absolutely.
Because they're getting it without Derrick Henry. If they can last, Derrick Henry might be back for the playoffs. And if this defense gets better and Derrick Henry returns for the playoffs with fresh legs, Like, is there a chance that Tennessee could make like a really improbable run here?
From what I just saw, defensively, they could do whatever they want if they play like that.
If they play like that. And yeah, look, they're 7-2. They've beat some good teams this year. At some point, I'm going to have to come around, but I'm not there yet. I don't think Tennessee, I don't think they're a legit contender to win the Super Bowl. Now, what does work in their favor is the AFC is in flux. It's in complete flux.
And they're in the worst division in the AFC,
too. Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, a few weeks ago, we were talking about, hey, the Chargers might be the best team in the AFC. And they were 4-1. And ever since then, they've dropped some games. And then we say, oh, it's the Bills. And then, you know, we saw Tennessee, you know, run over the Bills. And AFC is in flux. So Tennessee has a chance, but I'm not necessarily believers in them, especially with Derrick Henry not being there.
I agree with that. So Tennessee Titans and Los Angeles Rams. Chicago Bears at Pittsburgh Steelers. Monday night football game. This game ended up being a great game coming down to the end. I was surprised. Pittsburgh pulled out early in this one. And then we saw Justin Fields make some noise here. He moved the ball down the field. He got a touchdown callback. He had some major. He was getting destroyed by TJ Watt.
He was getting destroyed by TJ Watt. The referees weren't doing Justin Fields any favors. I don't understand it. This is not the NBA. You don't get foul calls and this and that based on your pedigree or your prestige as a player. If it's an illegal hit, throw the flag. And there were several hits on Justin Fields where I felt a flag should have been thrown. I did not. And Tony Corrente.
Yeah, there was the one on the sideline that was kind of
awful.
He was still in. He was in bounds. If he would have gave himself, like if he would have gotten out of bounds a hair quicker, even at first, I thought that was going to be a personal foul. I want to throw this out there. Justin Fields is week 9's highest graded quarterback, according to PFF. So
that's really pretty impressive. And now that's running for his life.
Mm-hmm. That tells you exactly. That tells you everything you need to know.
So like, my one bet that I got right this week that I was actually on the fence about was Justin Fields over 30 yards, and he had 8 rushing for 45 yards. So
he was running.
Yeah, he was definitely
running for his life. Listen, you didn't have to do that at Ohio State.
No, he didn't.
He stood in the pocket and made throws. He's an accurate, good. He's a legit quarterback. He's not just the athlete you throw out there to make plays like that. He's being forced to do that more, and he should continue to do it until the team actually gets better. He gets a different coach or whatever the circumstances are. Yeah. But he can be that guy in the pocket.
For sure. So, the Bears shoulda, coulda, and would have won this game if the referees didn't have Pittsburgh money line. On this game, it was pretty bad.
12 penalties for Chicago.
The taunting call was horrible.
That swung the game.
And then if you go back and watch the instant replay, the player didn't bump the referee. The referee actually bumped the player. So I mean, it was just bad, man. And then Chicago scores a touchdown, a red zone touchdown inside the 5. And then I think they call it like a legal procedure or some type of penalty that was a bad call.
That was the one where Fields threw like a dime to Robinson. It was illegal formation, but obviously that was a real penalty.
So
that was one of the real penalties.
Yeah,
but I mean, the real ones. That's
another weird part about this game was during the game. Obviously, Najee Harris is like one of the best stories in the NFL. The guy's a saint. Like, he builds homeless shelters and whatnot. He's a young leader, man. He's great. Steve Levy came out and he was showering him with praise. Mispronounced his name a little bit. First strike. Second strike, Najee Harris comes out, calls Steve Levy out on Twitter today because Steve Levy said Najee Harris grew up sleeping on the floor very poor in his own house. So when he got to college, he slept on his dorm floor instead of sleeping in the bed. And Najee Harris came out today. He's like, what are you talking about? I didn't sleep on my dorm floor. Like, yeah, he slept in my bed.
Dude went to Alabama. He was probably sleeping on the best mattress there is.
The feather mattress. Satin
sheets or whatever.
Some of them
white
cheerleaders sitting in his bed.
Some of them My Pillow Giza sheets. Come on. Yeah. Can I get an amen? Somebody throw a sponsorship at us?
Please. Sot for mattresses.
Hey, man, I don't care how crazy the MyPillow guy comes off. I will advertise for him if I'm being paid.
Yo, I appreciate that Najee Harris came out and said something though, because I think sometimes players don't come out and you know, like players will come out and you know, if they don't like your opinion, they'll say, "Oh, your opinion is off and here's why," or "You're not qualified to even have an opinion on me." But I don't think players come out enough when it's an actual objective statement that is true or false. They don't come out and say, "That wasn't true, man. I didn't say that." I wish players did that more, because I think a lot of these guys, these journalists, these media people, I think that sometimes they just, you know, talk out of the side of their neck so they can say something.
Look, here's the bottom line. Dude's mom, he was being recruited by Michigan. He was about to commit to Michigan. Then all of a sudden, his mom got this amazing job offer down in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And then he flipped over to Alabama. And then there's no way. His mom was probably making bank in Tuscaloosa. So his mom got that job offer miraculously. It was like a miracle, they said. Like, I don't know. Like, who gives jobs to, five-star recruits' kids' moms during the recruiting cycle like that? Like, does that just miraculous? I think it was a miracle, personally. I don't think there was anything wild going on, but, yeah.
This is pretty good sarcasm, because you had me going for a second. You had me going for a second.
I mean, it could have been a miracle, but, I mean.
Another
Michigan needs to offer six-figure jobs to parents. That's all I got to say.
That's what Michigan needs to do. I tell you what, my future son will be going to Michigan.
Michigan needs its own bank, like Alabama.
Or a car dealership like Nick Saban. So
I didn't even know that. That's even more crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. One good thing to piggyback for fantasy here, guys, maybe a buy low prospect, was Allen Robinson and Justin Fields looked on the same page for the first time all season.
Yeah.
There's a lot of trade deadlines going in fantasy this week. That might be someone to target.
I really thought Allen Robinson would be really good with him out of the gate just because of the accuracy, but same. I don't know what's going on with all that.
All right, guys, before we go, Odell Beckham Jr. It's looking like he's going to clear waivers. No one is going to sign him. Where's he going? And what can he do?
Dolphins.
Wait, so he's going to clear waivers?
Probably.
Oh, man. I figured. I didn't think he'd make it through waivers. I think OBJ to Vegas would be an ideal fit. Obviously, they just lost.
I don't think they're going to do it because they picked up Deshaun now, though.
No, that's fair. They probably won't.
Yeah.
I know you brought up Seattle.
New England is one of the top candidates. Seattle, I've heard. Russ has been pushing hard.
Russ pushed for everything.
If you guys don't do it, I'm leaving. All right.
Probably sounds just like that too.
Yeah. if you guys don't get OBJ, I'm out of here. All right. I'm gonna leave.
Next I'm gonna year. Take my Ciara and go.
For real, yeah, this
I'm
time.
I'm out of here. We're gonna go to a bigger market.
I'm mad we making Russ sound like old Uncle Tom.
Oh, you said it, not me.
I mean, he sounds like Pete Carroll, all right?
No, he does.
OBJ, maybe Kansas City?
That'd be a good one.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
they need the help outside. It's only two guys there that can really catch passes.
Yeah, anyway. The receivers
Tyreek
are...
Hill and Travis Kelce.
Baltimore.
I want to say OBJ wants to catch passes. But Lamar Jackson has turn into
but
really
I feel what you're saying there. I think a really fun place would be the Chargers. I think he blend really well in that offense. He's exactly what they need, that over the top guy.
Some of those guys who ad lib, run around, him being able to do that.
Yeah,
I think Justin that
Herbert's
benefits
smart
him.
Smart enough to be able to, because he already has a Keenan Allen.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what? We'll see. He'll end up in Miami.
Yeah, probably. So he can just stay on. He still owns the yacht.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, that's going to wrap up our football review show of week 9. We're going to be coming with you this weekend with the bets again, a little redemption on Friday. And as always, look out for our Thursday night football preview. We hand out some great bets. We've been killing the last couple Thursday games with the player props and the wins on the over-under. Actually, as well, check out probably releasing on Thursday, the NBA show, episode 2, where we'll be doing an Eastern Conference preview with me and Coach Melvin Taylor. And a Western Conference preview is up. And then after this Eastern Conference preview, we will most likely just be moving to the 45-minute shows once a week, going over all things happening in the NBA every week. And we'll be keeping that going to the end of the season. And for check out Coach Brandon Lundberg's site, Football Scout 365, where he is ramping up the draft coverage.
And I actually have rankings. Not out yet. They will be next
week. Nice. They will be soon. And he can push you over the top in those fantasy championships and playoff runs. As always, check us out on the number 5 Tool Sports Podcast.com. Where the music at? Where's it at? We out.
I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9 to 5 is something that I don't want to do. Sit in the cubicle.